Thank you. Amen. Let's all stand together tonight, if you would. Boy, hadn't you enjoyed all the good singing tonight? Amen. Every bit of it. And I tell you what, tonight, that young man just sung a while ago by himself. Boy, that was great. Amen. I have it in me. I just can't get it out. It's good inside, but when it comes out, it just don't seem, well, not like I anticipated. Amen. And but it is a joy tonight to be with you. Always good to be able to get up in this part of Tennessee, and praise the Lord, it got a little warmer today, and I thank the Lord for that. I came up through Asheville last night, kind of knocking a little bit of my ride off, and stayed up in Asheville, and was going to ride my bike a little bit on some of the bike trails up around Bent Creek, and I was out on the trails, and I got back done and told my wife, I said, I've rode that bicycle all winter, and I said to her, I don't think I've been this cold as I am in the spring. Amen. And I tell you what, man, snow flurries flying by. I'm thinking, what in the world have I done? I took a left and went to Wisconsin or something. Amen. Got a family in our church. Got family has 41 inches of snow on the ground right now and had 18 more in the last 2 days on top of that. So I guess we're okay. Amen. Take your Bible tonight, John chapter number 2, please. And we're going to be in the Gospel of John quite a bit this week, unless the Lord changes my heart about some things. But in praying, I really feel like this might be the way that the Lord might have us to go this week. Several chapters here in the Word of God that I want to look at, several different things, several different ideas throughout the week this week. I want to say real quickly tonight while you're in John chapter 2 that I love your pastor. I mean that. I appreciate him. He came down along with his son. One of his sons came down, Tyler, and also I believe it was Matt. Is that right, Matt? Sam. That's Samuel, right? Sam. And he was telling me about that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank God his name wasn't Acts of 1 Corinthians, right? But anyway, they came down. We had a great time and enjoyed the week together. And a few days we had a chance to do that. And so thank you again for having me up. And you do good. Listen, I'll try my best to be around 30, 35 minutes as best I can do. And I said that to you last year. Somebody said, you lied. You went a little farther than that. Well, you can't count now the scripture reading and all the talking before I preach. Right? You got to wait till I start, you know. But anyway, chapter number 2, look in the Word of God if you would. And I want to begin reading at verse number 1 of chapter 2. The Bible said, on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not which it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifesting forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I want for just a few moments tonight, with the Lord's help, to look back at some things that take place in this chapter. You know very well tonight a little bit about this chapter, and I'll say more, but this is the first recorded miracle that Jesus performs. And it's interesting that it was at a wedding. It's interesting that there's some other people there that almost false religions have been built on. And yet, I believe this one miracle could have something tremendous, a tremendous impact in my life and yours. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for this good day. Lord, it's been a beautiful day. We praise you for that. Thank you, God, for the wonderful singing we've heard tonight. every song glorified and honored you. Lord, I thank you tonight for the good piano playing, the good music leading. Lord, for those who took the meal, thank you, Lord, for putting food on the table, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray tonight now, help us for a few moments, and we'll thank you a little bit, Lord, tonight, and give you all the glory for all you do for us. For we ask it in Christ's name, and all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. You'll find out that in the Word of God, now just recorded, there are 35 recorded miracles that the Lord Jesus did that are recorded in the Word of God. This particular chapter of the Bible has been turned around a little bit by a couple of groups of people. The Mormons, of course, turned this chapter around to believe that Jesus somehow was married to Martha and Mary. And of course, you and I know it does not say that this was a wedding for Jesus, but that Jesus was invited to the wedding. And friend, that certainly is a false doctrine tonight. Then you'll find out that the Catholics use this passage of Scripture and talk about how that Mary was in an elevated place and how she told the Lord what to do. And I'm going to say this tonight. You'll find out the way Jesus addresses her, that she was not telling him what to do. Matter of fact, I believe that Mary would be very disappointed today if she thought that anybody would get the glory above the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, then you and I know this as well. How many times have we had someone to say, well, Jesus turned water into wine, so what's wrong with me drinking anyway? Let me say this to you tonight. You'll find out, and I'm not going to get into all this tonight, but you'll find out that naturally fermented wine contains between 9 and 18% alcohol. This is referred to as strong drink in the Word of God. I want you to notice that in the Bible does not say that Jesus created strong drink. It says he created wine. And there was a huge difference in that very thing. I also want you to understand this. If anybody could turn water into wine, then have at it. Amen. If the only ingredient you got is water, then just turn water into wine and have at it. Matter of fact, I'm saying this to you. I believe what he was doing was turning water here into nothing more than we would think of our day as grape juice. Why? Because it was not strong drink. Hey, I'm 100% convinced. Listen, I had a phone call in the early morning hours, Sunday morning. I have an office in my house, and I was there studying before I went out to church. And I had a call in the early morning about a man that had been on a one-week drunk in a motel room. I was about spending every dollar he had and his life. Listen, he's been battling alcoholism for years and years and years, and he's battling again, been coming to our church, and God's been helping him, but he still is battling that disease. Friend, I'll tell you what, it ought to make every single person realize that one of the most legalized drugs in our country is the drug of alcohol. And friend, can I tell you this? I believe with all my heart this is not what Jesus was creating in this chapter. I do not believe he'd go contrary to the Word of God. Study your Bible, you'll find out. Even Nazarite vows and others, there's a huge difference between what the Bible says, wine and strong drink. And I believe that. Now, what I want to preach on tonight is something you find in this chapter. On this Tuesday night, and I have to be careful not to say Monday night, preacher kind of scurred a little bit. He said it was about twice his crowd, and I'm thinking, my Lord, they knew I was coming. They stayed at home. Amen. But I'm glad you're here anyway, all right? But what I want to say is this tonight. I want you to notice in this chapter, chapter number 2, that this first miracle that the Lord is performing, this first miracle here in the Word of God says a lot to you and I about how to get God to do things in our life. I want to preach a few moments tonight on this thought. So you need a miracle. So you need a miracle. Do you know that most things that happen in the church today happen, and most of the time we have an explanation? Most of the time when we say something here or the other happened, most of the time, and by the way, great things can happen when God's people do what they need to do. But I want to say this tonight. When's the last time you saw God do something that was so marvelous, so wonderful, that was so great that you would have to say that had to be God? That had to be God. Hey, listen, can I say this tonight? I still believe the God that you and I serve is the same God that was here in chapter 2. It was the same God that stood with Elijah and Elisha. It was the same God with Moses at the Red Sea. I still believe that He is able, that He is omnipotent, that He is all-powerful, that there is nothing that God can't do. I still believe that. Let's just be honest. You walked in this meeting on a Tuesday night, and coming in here tonight, there may be people that do not know. There may be people that have no clue that when you came in here tonight, you need God to do something in your life. You need God to move in your life. Hey, listen, I love what Mary said to these men here in the Word of God. I'm glad she said to them, listen, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. What a great verse in the Word of God. And friend, listen, I'm telling you, if we're going to see God work miracles even in our day, you say, preacher, does God still work miracles? Let me ask you a question. Are you sitting here? Amen. Amen. People all the time think a miracle is someone getting up and walking this lame, or a miracle, and that is a miracle, the blind seeing. But friend, the greatest miracle that takes place today is when someone that's lost and undone without God gets born again and God changes their life. There is not a greater miracle in the world than God doing that. I'll tell you about a miracle that happened in our church just several weeks ago. I was telling someone in another meeting I was in, we'd been through a time, and I'm not used to this at our church, but we'd been through a time maybe about a month and a half. No one had got saved. Matter of fact, I don't even know that a sinner had even raised their hand. I had preached about, maybe 8 or 9 meetings, and I'd been traveling. Even in those meetings, we'd had good moves and seen God do some things, but it just seemed like no sinners were coming. I told my wife, I said, listen, you know my heart. I want to see people get saved. I want to see God save people. Listen, when those doors open to Calvary Baptist Church in Statesville, I want people to bring in the lost, bring in people that need Christ. I want to see them get saved. And I'm not talking about recap. I'm talking about saved by the grace of God. Well, several weeks ago on Sunday morning, one of my bus captains come to me and said, preacher, you're not going to believe this, but said, I stopped by a house this week, and there are 7 teenagers that just moved there from Arkansas. And I asked them, would they come to church today? And they said that they would. She said, they're here today. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm talking about a miracle. That morning during that service, 3 of those teenagers gave their life to Christ. I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have meant as much to me if I could have parted a river, if I could have moved a mountain. It ain't nothing like seeing people get saved. But I tell you what really blessed me. I'm talking about a miracle. I was standing up on the platform after the service, and our greeters and ushers were shaking hands with people in the back. And I was standing up on the platform. One of those girls, a teenager, come walking up on the platform, never met me in her life before that morning, preacher, never had. She come walking up on the platform. And she walked up to me, and she put her arm out to hug me, and she walked over to hug me. She said, sir, I just want to tell you thank you for telling me about Jesus. And then she made this comment, I'd never heard of Him. A teenager in America that moved to North Carolina, and she looked at me and said, preacher, I'd never heard about Jesus. Boy, I tell you, that got a hold of me, and I realized what a miracle that must have been for that girl to come up there and to get saved and trust Christ on the very first time she heard the Word of God. Amen. So I wonder tonight if you might say, I need a miracle. I want to show you some things here in the Word of God that produced a miracle in chapter number 2. Look back in your Bible with me if you would. I want you to look in the Word of God and listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says here in verse number 4 that I read, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have thou to do with mine hour? Is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now I want you to notice this. The first thing that has to happen in order to see a miracle that we find here in chapter number 2 is you simply have to see people willing to do what God wants them to do. Do you realize here in the Word of God that those servants are not named? If you look in the Bible, nowhere will you find in the Word of God were those that went with those water pots, and evidently they had to go a fair distance, and they had to go get the water, and they had to fill those water pots. Have you noticed it's all about them going, but it's not about who they are? And I want to say this to you tonight. If we're going to see miracles in our life, it will take people. It'll take people. Listen, Crossroads Baptist Church, if you want God to do something, you got to be the people that want God to do it. Hey, your pastor can't carry it alone. Leadership can't carry it alone. Friend, listen, I'll tell you this. My name might be on the sign at our church. My name might be on the letterhead, but I got enough sense to know it's in people there that go soul winning, that knock on doors, that sing those songs, and that love the Lord. If we're going to see a miracle, it's going to take people. Amen. We live in a day today where people seemingly want to be recognized, want people to know who they are. But the Bible tells us here in the Word of God, and I believe this, the Bible tells us simply this, they were just servants. They were just servants listening to God. I'll tell you what, when I believe we get to heaven one day and be in the seat of Christ, I believe there's going to be a whole lot of people up there in the line way ahead of some of us. I believe a whole lot of them going to be up there. Why? Because they were just servants. Nobody knew their name, preacher. Nobody. Listen, I am convinced that the ministry that I have right now would not be near what it is, if at all, if it wasn't for the people that God put in there to be a blessing. Amen. And I will say this. You look in the Word of God, the Bible simply says about those, it simply says they were servants. If you want to see God work a miracle, now you got to understand, those water pots used much for the cleansing. And by the way, if you've ever studied one of these weddings, do you realize that this bride and groom could have been charged, or they could have gotten in big trouble by not having enough at the wedding supper? Do you realize when the wedding takes place like this in the Word of God that those are responsible in the Jewish wedding, and they literally could have been fined for running out of wine at the wedding? Could you imagine if you had a wedding? My daughter's getting married in August, and I could not imagine if somebody didn't have a piece of cake and we run out that somebody could get fined, that they could fine me. Could you imagine somebody come and say, preacher, they're going to fine you in the county because you didn't have enough cake. but in Bible days, the way it was. Now, I want you to notice that simply it takes people to see God work a miracle. Guess what you are? Can I just say this in country, boy, don't make sense in English. You are people. Amen. Every single one of you. You say, preacher, God can do it in me. Your people's his people. Amen. Hey, I want to say this. You're a person. You're a people. You are a servant of God. And listen, nobody else is any far alone. You have every opportunity to see God work a miracle in your church and in your life. Talking about people. Go back in your Bible. I want you to see a second thing. I want you to see the perspiration you find here in this chapter. You got to understand, these water pots were somewhere between 100, 160 gallon. Probably somewhere in the range of maybe 80 gallons of water. We're talking about having to lift that. We're talking about having to go do that. Listen, I want you to understand this. Obedience will put you in places of blessing in your life. And those servants were willing to be obedient. So the Bible says they began to go get those water pots. The Bible says, fill the water pots with water. Listen, they had to go to a well to fill them and bring them back. Can I tell you this? If you need a miracle, it's going to take effort on your part. It's going to take effort. I don't know how much each one of them had to carry. I don't know how heavy it may have been for what. I don't know exactly how many service, but I do know this. I know that it was going to involve some sweat. I know that it was going to involve some work. I know that it was going to involve somebody doing what God said. Can I tell you this? A lot of folks today want all the blessings of the church, but they don't want to work. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. I call it spiritual hobos. There's a lot of people that want to ride the church train, but they don't want to buy a ticket. Amen. They want all the blessings. They want the miracles. Freaking, I tell you this, miracles don't come without prayer and fasting. Miracles don't come without faithfulness. Miracles don't come without obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Understand, we have to be obedient and do what God says. And we do what God says. Sometimes there'll be some perspiration. Sometimes we just got to be willing to do the work if we want to see God do something in our life. Amen? So in this passage, the Word of God, you see people. You see perspiration. Look a little farther. In this passage of the Word of God, you see what I call a perplexity. What I mean by that? Notice what they needed in chapter 2. They needed wine. They had ran out of wine. And they needed that. And so these servants were told to go get wine. No. The servants were not told to go get wine. They were told to go fill those water pots with what? Water. Now you imagine what that took. We're talking about, you know how heavy water can be. Let's just say it was just 70 or 80 pounds. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Here comes these fellas back, and they got this water, and they're grabbing on the sides, and they're getting it back, and here they come back. Now think about it. They're coming back with what? Water. Jesus hadn't done a miracle in their area. Jesus hadn't turned water into wine before, but those servants were willing to do what he said do, even when what he said do seemed very out of place. Can I tell you this? Sometimes we can see a miracle and we can see God do things in our life if we will simply just understand that even though we may not be able to know what God's doing, we may not know which way God's going, but if we'll just do what this Bible says, do what the Word of God says. The Bible says in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." I mean, listen, I have people come sometime and they'll say, "Preacher, we just been really tough financially. It's been really tough." They'll come to my office, and I don't know if they think that I'm, you know, some type of financial guru and I can help them. But usually when I tell them this, they really just like, "This preacher, we need another pastor." I've had them come to me in my office and say, "Preacher, we're struggling financially. What should we do?" I'd say to them, "Tithe. Give to missions." Every time we go through another building program in our church and need God to do something, you know what we do? Take on a few more missionaries. Amen? You know what I've learned? I've learned you can't outgive God. I've learned you can stay faithful to God and do right with God. But I want you to understand this. They were willing to do something that even though it seemed asinine, it just seemed like this is not the right thing to go get water. We need wine. We don't need water. Right? Walk around the walls of Jericho one time a day for six. And then walk around seven times that last day. Can you imagine some of those good Israelite Baptists walking around that wall? Can you imagine some of them going, "This preacher has lost his mind. That man's crazy." Walking around the wall. People probably up on the wall laughing at him, looking at a bunch of Israelites. Jericho's walled city. Jericho had we're talking about a massive wall. And what does God tell him to do? God didn't say, "Joshua, y'all going over there and I'm going to knock that wall down and I'm going to blow it out of the way and y'all just go walking in and take over." He said, "Joshua, walk around one time a day, 6 days. Don't say nothing. Don't make no noise. Just come back. You know, it's weird, but God sometimes will ask you to do some interesting things that you just can't see the end of it. You know how it is? You think you ought to be going one way, God will send you another way. You think you ought to be doing one thing, God will do another thing. And sometimes, listen, you just can't figure it out and you don't know what God is doing. And so they did that and they were obedient. By the way, God then told them to shout before the walls come down. If that's a wall in my life right here, and I walk up that and it falls down, that wall falls out of my way, I can go, hallelujah. But what about hallelujah when the wall's still there? Hey, man. What about that? Hey, can I tell you this? I'll tell you how you see a miracle in your life. It takes people. It takes a perseverance. You got to work. But sometimes we get perplexed and we're thinking, what in the world is God doing? But He does know what He's doing. Hey, man. He does know. Now watch this. I want you to see another thing in this chapter. I want you to see their performance. Look back in your Bible. The Bible said there were set there 6 water pots of stone, verse 6, after the manner of purifying Jews, containing 2 or 3 furkins apiece, used it for cleansing before meals. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. But watch the next phrase. And they filled them up to the brim. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Listen, you know how some people, look, let's go get that water, but Lord, let's don't fill that thing up. Can you imagine how heavy that thing would be? I mean, you know, He said go get it. Mary said do what He said. So let's do it. But man, if we fill that thing up, we ain't going to be able to tote that. And it's water anyway. We don't need water. We need wine. We don't need water. We need wine. That's not what them boys did. Them fellas come back, and them water pots didn't say there was half. Didn't say there was 3/4. Said they was to the brim. All the way full. They were filled, preacher, to the brim. Listen to that. You know what that says to me? They didn't just do what Jesus said, but they did it to the very best of their ability. They put everything in it. They got all that they could. So you just can't do just enough and get by and expect God to work a miracle. I go in churches all the time, and we have been blessed at Calvary in the growth and have been blessed with what God's done. And I go in sometimes, people ask me, well, you know, and I have young preachers, I preach, what's the key? And I tell them, look, you've got to understand. I mean, I went to college. I have things on my wall that said that, you know, I got by, you know, kindergarten. I got all that. And but you look at people and they think maybe you wouldn't bought a book. They think maybe somebody smart told you something. Hey, can I tell you what I've learned, church? I've learned you just got to be willing to get out in the trenches and get out and do it and believe God can and believe God is able. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Right? Listen, Crossroads Baptist Church, I'm telling you this night. Like, see God pay all that debt off, maybe give you a gym, fill every seat up. And I mean, you know, sometimes you have good number of folk here, just see God do every bit of that. I'll tell you what it'll take people. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. I know to live above with the saints we love will be glory, but to live below with the saints we know is a different story. I know that. But can I tell you this? It takes people. It takes people. Right? I began to think about in my life, all the people that have made a difference in my life. It takes people. It takes perseverance. Listen, I want God to do something in my life. I'm not being mean saying this, but if you want God to do something in your life, staying in that seat's not where you need to be. On this altar praying. Perseverance. Asking God, begging God. Some of you got families unsaved. You got needs need to be met. You got, and listen, I understand that God does do everything. Sometimes God does say no to us, but I know this. I know that we many times have not because we ask not. And I understand it because sometimes we just don't put our feet to the prayers. I believe it takes sometimes being a little perplexed. What are we needing? We're needing wine. What's He send us to get? Water. Right? You ever had God do something for you and you said, man, I didn't see that coming. Right? But on this performance, and the last thing I'm preaching, I want to say this to you. They filled them to the brim. God gave me a little thought I put down in my notes. And I want you to get a hold of this thought tonight. Here's the thought. A brim full blessing requires a brim full obedience. A brim full blessing requires a brim full obedience. Preacher, I really need God to do something in my life. Listen to me. Put your feet to it. Believe God. And don't come to the Lord with half, but to the brim. If you want God to do something big, put something big in it. I believe that. Amen. It got to the place in many times in my ministry. Honestly, I've been doing this now 34 years of my life. And it's gotten to the place several times where I would say, God, if you don't do it, it won't get done. You know what the Holy Ghost would say to me? You do all you can. I'll take care of the rest. Amen. Wonder what blessing could be right there for you if you would simply do what He said. Amen. Does anybody at Crossroads Baptist Church not need a miracle? Anybody need God to do something that would have to be God? Right? Well, I'll tell you what. Pastors, and you guys know this. I faced two things early Sunday morning, right before I even went to church, of two families that needed miracles that day. They didn't need a shouty service. They didn't need a particular song. They needed God to intervene in their lives. You ever been there? Let's stand our feet tonight. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? A brim full blessing requires a brim full obedience. Don't ask you this tonight. What is it that you'd want to see God do in your heart during this revival? What is it that you would want to see God do maybe in your family? What is it you'd want to see God do that it'd have to be God? Then while our brother's singing tonight and she's playing, you know what you could do? You could bring your water pot. And you could say, God, I'm putting all in. And Lord, I want you to work a miracle. And guess what? I believe with all my heart tonight that God can do it if we believe that God can do it. And I'll tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't look at all other people and wonder what they're going to do. See, I didn't ask, does somebody else need a miracle? I said tonight, do you need a miracle? Amen. Brother, you lead us tonight. Sing for us. What number are you going to sing? 394. I wonder who walked in Crossroads tonight. Who walked in this place tonight and said, Preacher, I need God to do something tonight. I need God to do something. Me or somebody in my family. I need God to do something tonight. I need God to do something tonight. I wonder, listen, just people tonight's all we are. Ain't nothing special about one of us apart from grace. While he's singing, what do you need the Lord to do now? You lead us, brother. Wouldn't it be great if you walked down this aisle tonight believing God? Say, Lord, I'm going to come with a brimful obedience. Yes. Do you believe him tonight? Do you believe Him tonight? Whatsoever saith unto thee, do it. Sing another verse, dear brother. Pastor, you come. Thank you, preacher. Love you, buddy.